Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a little free agency recap here for the some stuff over the weekend, just cleaning up some loose ends, some stuff to look forward to, and some news and notes here. So I'm recording this on Monday morning or so. Just as an FYI, I will be... I probably will not be recording for a couple of days this week, so I'm going to have a couple of podcasts in here that I record today. It's my, I think, as people are aware, my daughter's got a cleft lip, and she's having surgery on Tuesday, so I am, you know, getting some stuff out there in the ether or whatnot for the, you know, in the hopper, in the pipeline, just so that way it's there in case I, you know, stick at the hospital for longer than we expect or whatnot. It doesn't look like it's going to be too serious or whatnot, but it's still a surgery. So I am recording some of the stuff a little bit early. So if there is new movement and stuff, I'll do my best to sort of update the site to reflect some of that stuff. But yeah, so we're doing basically a catch-all of the free agency stuff from over the weekend and basically looking forward. One thing that I thought was extremely notable and some of the, as I was sort of prepping the show and looking into some of the, you know, into some of the storylines and all that stuff, was there's a throwaway line in the, in a Deshaun Watson piece that I think is really interesting. So it's from the Houston Chronicle, and it says, so this is just a quote from this is a story from the Houston Chronicle. I'll read it. Several teams remain interested in potentially trading for Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson while they actively monitor the sexual assault lawsuits filed against the Pro Bowl passer by a massage therapist that involve graphic allegations, according to league sources not authorized to speak publicly. The Eagles are among those teams, along with Panthers, Jets, Dolphins, 49ers, and Broncos. The Texans remain steadfast in not wanting to trade Watson, according to sources, while general manager Nick Casario concentrates on overhauling the roster of the 4-12 team he inherited. The Eagles is the big thing in that. I don't know if there's truth to that in terms of how serious that is. But I think this whole thing that Jalen Hurts is, we're not going to create any sort of competition for Jalen Hurts. Like, this isn't what this offseason's about. We're not really going to, you know, we're building around him. We're doing all this stuff for him, and we want to sort of support him. I call BS. I don't think that's true. And they have the sixth pick in the draft. This team has never been a team that has shied away from addressing the quarterback position. Going back forever, they have done this. So we could go back to them taking a shot on Vic and then taking a shot on Vince Young and all the way up through, right? Them taking, them doing whatever it took to get Carson Wentz and then, trading away, you know, bringing in Bradford and then trading away, trading away Foles and then bringing him back and then trading away. Now they address Jalen Hurts in day two, right? Like, I that's baloney that they're not interested. That's just my opinion. So just be really careful on this. I don't buy what they're selling, and they're really convenient at their leaks. Like, they're excellent at placing real good leaks that make them sound whatever they want to sound, whether that's, blaming it on a person's past or what. But this is a team that's very good at the leak game. So just keep that in mind. I don't buy this thing about them not being interested at six at all. So if you're in on Jalen Hurts because you're under this assumption that he's going to be the guy, this is just further evidence that that's probably not entirely true. Now, is it 60-40 true? Is it 80-20 true? Is it, I can tell you it's not true in the sense of, hey, we are not in any way creating a quarterback controversy. Like, that's just not true. If it's more in the, hey, we're interested in sort of and perusing You know, like it's unlikely we're going to take a quarterback, right? But you don't put those things out. So if they told me like, hey, listen, like 80-20, we're staying with Hurts. Like, okay, that's more believable. But there's just not much here to believe that they're not at all interested in a quarterback, because all evidence sort of points to the contrary. So just be on the lookout with that with Jalen Hurts, because I think a lot of people are under the assumption that, hey, this is 100% Jalen Hurts' team. Like, no, it's not. Like, it might turn out to be that way, but as we sit here right now, that's not true. Okay, so that's the news there. And then still destined to be traded is the other news out of Houston. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. This whole thing really complicates matters. And so, I'll just finish out a quote here on the Jalen Hurts thing. This is from Howie Roseman, their GM. We have not been told to do anything other than to try and strengthen the football team and make sure we're doing the right thing going forward, he said. So that is actually denying some of the stuff that was reported earlier. When people start talking about Jalen Hurts, the first thing that they go to is his athleticism and his strength as a runner. And I don't know if that's necessarily fair. This is a guy who completed over 70% of his passes at Oklahoma. He's got a feel for the passing game. He's got a plus arm. So, yeah, again, the messages out of there are coming all over the place. So I would just, I'm not buying what they're selling at all. So that's the news and notes there. Mitchell Trubisky with the Bills as a backup. That's interesting from a backup perspective. I think I might have highlighted that. It might have been news last time I recorded this. So that's kind of where we sit right now. Urban Meyer's not fielding trade calls for Gardner Minshew at this point. So, hey, he's still the de facto starter. Maybe that's something the Eagles could push. That's pretty much the quarterback stuff. We'll head to some of the running back stuff. I think there's some interesting stuff here. Quote out of The Athletic on Benny Snell, quote, hard to imagine entering as the starter in 2021. Yeah, no kidding. I do think I took a shot on Anthony McFarlane. I actually took a shot on Benny Snell too this week. So in that startup draft that I'm doing, 20th plus round for Benny Snell. Right around the same time I took Ito Smith. I was actually doing the math. And I'm gonna do a show on this as well. Just sort of running down basically a rundown of the starting running back spots. As I'm sort of counting, I'm not sure how you get to good options for 32 teams. So I think the options that are out there, again, maybe you include Gurley in this. I'm not at the moment because I'm not sure that he's on the good options list. But if you look down and say, all right, Fournette and Connor are good options. And then you sort of look around and you say, all right, like in the draft, there's like Harris and Etienne and like maybe Javonte Williams. Like someone's going to end up in, I guess maybe someone doesn't end up in Tampa. So that sort of creates like one of those ambiguous situations. But you look and you got Carolina, or sorry, you got the Cardinals, you've got the Jets, you've got Pittsburgh, and you got Atlanta. So you look around, you're like, all right, like okay, there's 5 for 4 spots, and like it's almost mathematically, it seems really unlikely that one of these teams is going to be. Is, you know, that all these teams are going to address their situation in either free agency or the draft with like a day two pick. So, yeah, I'm interested in, is that a trade maybe something? I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. But, there's some free agent stuff to still do. Hey, maybe you push a guy like Chase Edmonds. You don't necessarily bring in, an elite guy, but he seems like the best option at this point to actually be a starter out of all those teams. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think you could see a situation where it's like an Ito Smith, Brian Hill backfield in Atlanta. I mean, they've got so much other problems and they don't have money to sort of do anything with it. So we'll be on the lookout. We'll be watching. So, All right. So and Houston keeps signing everybody. So they bring in Mark Ingram. They bring in Philip Lindsay. Like, they've done an insane amount of restructuring of this roster. So that's pretty impressive. Chris Carson back 2 for $14.6 million to Seattle. There's a void year on that, the back end of that. So it's actually like it cuts down some of the cap stuff over the next 3 years. In 2022, so that's after this year, he is $3 million dead, $3.4 million savings. So there's some net savings there if they wanted to sort of do that. It looks kind of like a two-year deal to me. And again, could they have paid Leonard Fournette less? I don't know. Be interesting to watch. I'm guessing the answer to that question is yes. All right, so that's the running backs. Wide receivers, DeSean Jackson, 1 year with the Rams. Cue up your hot takes in terms of the – he's a best ball special, right? I want him in the X round of best ball. Like, the, you know, cue up the – you can't mention DeSean Jackson's name without mentioning him in best ball. I think maybe not necessarily DeSean Jackson, but for Matthew Stafford, I love it. Love it. I'm really excited. You put what I think is an underrated quarterback with an underutilized scheme and system in Detroit, and you – put him with a really good quarterback coach, a really good offensive mind, and Sean McVay, and like, you're just going to flood it with weapons. So you get, you've got Woods and Kupp, you go out and get D-Jax, and you've got, heck, you got Van Jefferson as a wide receiver four, you got Higbee, you got the running backs. I mean, this is a really compelling situation. So yeah, so he's one that, that I'm definitely, probably more so it's as a Stafford thing than it is it's a D-Jax thing. Kenny Galladay, 4 for $72 million with $40 million guaranteed. This is amazing to me because when you look at – when you sort of were following the news, as I was sort of tracking some of the wide receiver stuff, obviously you get Will Fuller to Miami on a one-year deal. You've got Juju Smith-Schuster, who we'll talk about in a second, on a one-year deal going back to Pittsburgh. When you sort of watched the some of the news coming out on Galladay, it was like, oh yeah, like Chicago's bringing him in, and oh, they're just essentially like flirting with Allen Robinson, and Allen Robinson's sort of looking at it, and he's kind of like, well, if they bring this guy in, like maybe they rescind my franchise tag and then I have to go into a crummy market, and instead I'm making, you know, like $18 million a year this year, and it's like, okay. So, or yeah, 17, what's it say? It's the franchise tag 17.9. Yeah, basically $18 million. Like, okay, I have to sign a deal, and it's like, you know, I don't know, 3 years, like $42 million. You're like, oh, all right, like I could have waited a year and played this out, and then here we go. I think that's some of what was going on with Chicago. At least that was what it was reported. Then it was, hey, you know, they were actually interested, and yeah, so all this stuff was going on with him. Hey, the Giants are going to bring him in, but like, yeah, we really need to look at this guy's, like, you know, we really need to look at this guy's numbers. Like, we really need to, like, we got to get to the bottom of this one. It's kind of like, oh, it's like the nudge in the thing. You're like, oh, all right. Like, yeah, maybe it's just like a 1 year prove it deal. Nope. 4 for $72 million. So when you go ahead and look at guys that are making more than him, okay. DeAndre Hopkins, $27.25 million a year. Julio Jones, $22 million a year. Keenan Allen, just over 20. Amari Cooper, 20. Michael Thomas, 19.25. Kenny Galladay, 18. Odell Beckham Jr., 18. Tyreek Hill, 18. Allen Robinson, 17.9. It's practically 18. And then you sort of have a little bit of a tier break, and it's Evans, 16.5. Woods, 16.3. Thielen, 16.2. Cook, 16.2. I think there might have been a restructure there, so... I'm not sure that's the actual number. This over the cap might not be updated. But Godwin's up there. You know, he's signed the franchise tag as well. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of looking at this and I'm like, huh. Like, that's a lot of money to pay for a guy that hasn't really stayed healthy and doesn't separate. So, yeah, he's a contested catch guy, which is great. But he... 20 receptions last year. He hasn't played more than 86% of offensive snaps in his career. He's got one season with 16 games. Yeah. And, you know, I'll say I watched a lot of Detroit, and one of the things that really concerns me about Detroit is, like, when Kenny Galladay, if he wasn't the clear one for a while because Marvin Jones was there, and I think Marvin Jones is a better wide receiver, there was a point where Marvin Jones was out, and it was basically like Kenny Galladay is the wide receiver one, and it's, hey, go ahead, take over, right? This is your audition to basically be the wide receiver one. And the offense bogged down, and they couldn't get open, and Stafford's back there without any options. And I'll just say that's kind of what happens when you get a wide receiver one who can't separate. It's really tough to sort of run an offense that way. And we'll see. I mean, they bring in John Ross. Like, I think they're doing other smart things in terms of doing some spec stuff, which I like. You know, I would sort of, I'm big in the thrift shop trying to re-sign guys like that. That John Ross thing could look like the Aguilar deal. You know, that would be interesting. So, yeah, I just, with Galladay, that stuff concerns me. So he has missed 17 games in his 4-year career. So basically a quarter of his career he's missed with injuries. So, yeah, count me on wanting to pay that $40 million. So just a lot of things in that deal I don't like. So that's the Kenny Galladay deal. We'll sort of track to some of the real draft position, just to give just to sort of take a look at it too with some of these guys. But you just missed your 1-for-8. Notably, he turned down the opportunity to go for Kansas City for multiple years and more money. Not entirely sure what's there with that. Kenny Galladay, 25th in terms of real draft position so far this year. And then you sort of look, we'll just pick, and we could sort it over the last, we'll call it like 2 weeks or so. And there's 10 drafts in or about that time. He's going at 24. So he's going, behind Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool. Those guys probably take a bite, but he's going shouting distance of Keenan Allen, which seems criminal. Juju Smith-Schuster's going after him. So I'm kind of a firm out at that point. Like, if I'm going to do that type of bet, like, give me Tyler Lockett. Give me Julio Jones later. Like, I don't know. I have a hard time seeing Galladay being like a 75, 80, 85, 90 catch guy, being 1,300 yards. It's just really, that's basically, I don't know. He has so much more of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick type, throw it in a contested coverage type of skill set, then I don't know. There's just not a ton of quarterbacks that can sort of bring that out. So I'd just be cautious on that. If you can get open, you can get open. And almost anyone can throw it to you. All right, Juju Smith-Schuster, 1-for-8. Like I said, he skips out on Kansas City, which is interesting. Dan Arnold, I'm not sure about why he would skip out on Kansas City. It seems like a better landing spot. Maybe he just likes Pittsburgh. Dan Arnold signs 2-for-6 in Carolina. That's pretty interesting in terms of they don't have an option there, right? They got nothing out of the position last year. He's more of a receiver than a blocker, so maybe does some move stuff. Jacob Hollister to Buffalo. I don't think Dawson Knox is anything to sort of stop you from making an upgrade at the position. So this Hollister thing does interest me to some degree. I think it's more of like in the 30s of real draft position type of interesting, but could he post sort of, I don't know, like 60 targets and catch like 40 balls and be on the tight end two spectrum? Yeah. I think if you have him in sort of like a two tight end format, like, that's an interesting spec bet. Zach Ertz is continuing to look for a trade. He was rumored to be interested in Buffalo. It looks like it's not true. I don't know. We'll see who does a deal there. I still think there's probably value there. The more this sits out there, the more this probably can crater some of his dynasty valuation. But I actually have a podcast I'm going to talk about on that, because I have a theory. But he's down at tight end 17 right now. And just to give you an idea, I don't even think Jacob Hollister was being drafted. Let's see. Yeah, it's really late. Yeah, he's not even being really, like, he's in the 40s, I think. And yeah, Ertz is Jacob Hauser, 54. Yeah, so it's pretty late. And then Ertz is Ertz is at 17. So you know, there's some interesting stuff there. Like, would you rather have Ertz or Higbee? That's kind of an interesting debate. Ertz or Eric Ebron, like, that's an interesting debate as well. Yeah, there's some stuff in here, like, you sort of look, but if you're trying to fix the position, you can kind of do it. I mean, like, if you're looking to fix the position, how about trying to stack some guys who have done it before outside the top 16? Zach Ertz at 17, Tyler Higbee at 17, Austin Hooper at 20, Ebron at 23, Rob Gronkowski at 24. Right, like Jared Cook at 34. Go get yourself two or three of those guys, and you can sort of figure out the position. That would kind of be my thought. So if you're sort of struggling up at the top of the position, go ahead and get your, go ahead and thrift shop, right? That's the place to thrift shop. So maybe you only have a couple of years in there, right? Are any of those guys multiple year sort of options? Maybe not, but it sort of buys you some time to figure some stuff out. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. This is just a potpourri sort of news type dump. Until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.